I'm searching for a new purpose. I'm going to be 70 in June. You know, I didn't have kids, and I've been an artist. I've been a creative person my whole life. I've had a very long career full of lots of different successes. But I'm missing myself as an artist. I haven't had an artistic goal. I haven't had a creative purpose for several years now. I'm restless, and I'm aimless, and I'm a little lost. And so I'm trying to get found to myself, and I'm trying to find out what's left. I don't seem to be dying. I need help. I mean, beyond therapy, I need some help with caring. It's really about caring. I need to care to work, to care to do more. I'm tired.
I'm Dacher Keltner. Welcome to The Science of Happiness. Our guest today, Marilyn Pittman, moved to San Francisco in the 1980s to become a comedian. And she did. Marilyn is also credited with being one of the first out lesbian comics in the United States. But she's had a lot of jobs over the years. Voice coach, radio host, and the creator of award-winning one-woman shows like her 2011 performance, All the Rage. Marilyn's been feeling like she's coming to the end of a long career, and she's seeking more meaning in her work. She joins us after trying a practice to figure out what life goals are closest to her heart and how to reach them. Later in the show, we'll consider studies examining how we can all find a greater sense of purpose in life. More after this break. Hi, it's Dacher. If you're like me, you probably have a wide variety of interests when it comes to your podcast listening. A little psychology here, a little history there. Which is why I want to recommend a show perfect for those with eclectic tastes. Freakonomics Radio has more than 10 years and 500 episodes worth of answers to your biggest questions. But don't be fooled, it's not just for economists and business experts. Every week, Stephen Dubner dives into the hidden side of everything. With the help of guests, including CEOs, artists, and Nobel laureates, he breaks down all sorts of things, like how we choose the people we marry, and why using swear words might be more important than you think. So don't miss out. Follow Freakonomics Radio right now, wherever you get your podcasts. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy. Support for The Science of Happiness comes from Odoo. If you feel like you're wasting time and money with your current business software or just want to know what you could be missing, then you need to join the millions of other users who switched to Odoo. Odoo is the affordable all-in-one management software with a library of fully integrated business applications that help you get more done in less time for a fraction of the price. To learn more, visit odoo.com/happiness. That's odoo.com/happiness. Odoo, modern management made simple. I'm Dacher Keltner. Welcome back to The Science of Happiness. Our guest today, Marilyn Pittman, has found joy throughout her life as a comedian and performer. But she stayed off the stage for the past few years. Now, nearing her 70s, she wants to feel inspired and motivated again. So she tried a life-crafting practice to affirm what's truly important for her in this next stage of life. Marilyn, thanks for joining us on the show.
Oh, it's my pleasure, Dacher. It's great to be with you.
So you chose to try our life-crafting practice, where you take a bit of time to contemplate what you really find meaningful, and then based on that, you create goals and plans for how to achieve it. This practice is aimed at tapping into our sense of purpose in life. Why'd you pick this one?
The reason I chose purpose is because I need some new stimulus. I need to refresh my spirit, my brain, my artistry. I want to, at this stage of my life, maybe the last chunk of my career, I wanted to be stimulated.
The first step of the life crafting practice is you kind of just sit in a reflective moment and think about, what are the values that really matter to me? And Dave Sherman down at Santa Barbara finds, man, if you can just contemplate for a minute what your values are that you care about in the moment, it helps you reorient towards the next part of life. What came to mind when you thought about your values?
I love this. Mine are, I've got the document in front of me, honesty, humor, and that is not to take yourself too seriously.
Yeah.
Thoughtfulness, compassion, open-mindedness, critical thinking. Those are my greatest values. And when I falter, it's usually around one of these. Like, I forget to be compassionate, I'm judgmental. It was good to remind myself not to take myself too seriously.
Yeah.
I think it's, you know, the pandemic brain has been, you know, it's been a bit of a funk.
Oh, my God.
And it's, you know, been a struggle mentally.
Deep struggle, yeah. Did any of these values surprise you?
No, none of them really surprised me, really. I mean, I think it's part of being my age.
Yeah.
I kind of know myself.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean that I'm found. It still means I'm lost.
After you reflect on your values, you then imagine your best possible future self, what life could be like if there were no constraints. What would that ideal future look like for you, Marilyn?
If I had no constraints, I would like my career path to have more recognition for past successes, develop a new audience for my artistic work, whatever that is, and then be heralded a little bit more as a pioneer.
Yeah.
Be more visible. I want my ideal future life to be more visible. I might want to work on a new solo show, but it's all comedy. It's comedy. And so that's it. It's just to have more recognition, to be more visible.
Yeah.
I feel pretty invisible these days about what I've accomplished and what I might want to create next. I think I was really grateful in the pandemic that I didn't have anything to promote. I've been promoting solo shows and radio shows and, you know, comedy show. I've been doing all that for so many years. I felt blessed to not, as I watched my friends all do these Zoom comedy things. And I was just like, oh, I'm so glad I have nothing. But now the veil is lifting and I'm feeling like, wow, I may have the juice again to go through that grueling task of talking about yourself too much. And so I think the pandemic has kind of dampened our, you know, it's like you're always hitting against some ceiling or you're always got something pushing against your eyebrows or it's always some oppressive feeling. And it's been hard for this, you know, you introverts out there in the audience, you're so lucky. You've had it really good. We extroverts, I've suffered.
Yeah, it's been profound.
Horrible.
Do you hunger for laughter? I mean, do you?
I do.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Like, I'm losing my mind not having it. So now I'm finding myself, I see myself kind of starving, starving for some, to make people laugh again.
The third step of this life crafting practice is to get practical and write goals based on your values and your ideal future self. And you make a plan for how you're going to achieve these goals. What's your plan?
One of the things that was interesting about it is that I sort of realized something. I'm too alone.
Yeah.
I thrive on being around people.
Yep.
And one of the things I came up with about how to attain the goals is find collaborators.
Yeah.
To stop thinking I have to do everything myself and to find other people to help me. And that was a huge thing this morning where I realized as I was doing this practice that I need to get out of this house now that I can, now that we can, and I need to reach out and I need to find a team to help me achieve these things. And so creating structure, asking for collaboration, asking, and that was really an operative word today, was to ask for help, to ask for help.
Yeah.
And then find ways to get out from under the pandemic brain and the aging slowdown is what I wrote.
Yeah, and tell me about that.
When you've had a career for 46 years and you're going to be 70, you feel like, okay, I'm done. But I'm not, because apparently I'm not, because I'm driving my partner crazy, and I'm driving myself crazy by not having any focus, any purpose, back to the word purpose.
Yeah.
And so I looked at the obstacles and the strategy to overcome them. That's part of the practice, is to manage my time and desire, to talk to myself about my desire. As an artist, desire is huge.
Yeah.
You know, you don't have anybody cracking the whip behind you. It's your desire to do something. And so, again, it comes down back to the collaboration.
Mm.
And to map out a plan to each day just reach out to different people to see if I can have lunch with this person. I mean, I know so many people.
Yeah.
I've got the resources sitting there. All I need to do is start tapping into them. And that's what I realized this morning. This was a huge thing that happened.
Yeah.
I just want you to know, you're part of the creative process here.
You know, Marilyn, I'm curious. It sounds like it's working on something creative that really gives you a sense of purpose. Is there something in particular that's calling you?
I have this idea where I narrate my own funeral and tell all the stories of my life. Who better than me? Why would I leave that to someone else?
Yeah.
I want to call the show Don't anybody steal this. I don't really care. Whatever. I've already copyrighted. No, I haven't. I'm thinking about a collection of stories, but then I was thinking about hosting my own funeral, and then it became combining the two would be obituary, B-I-T-C-H in capital letters, obituary. And then parentheses, I did some things. I know. I've got it developed. I want to talk about, you know, dying. I think hosting my own funeral is hilarious. And so to me, that's a real, like, honest sort of, you know, hey, I'm going to be 70. I'm dying. We're all dying. You know, I'm old. You got to face your death when you get to this age. And maybe that's why I've avoided it. I'm not sure.
So you've had this incredible idea brewing inside you, and it sounds like now you're feeling more motivation to work on it. What's changing for you?
I think looking at 70, I think, and I've accomplished so much, but I think the thing that's in my way, the biggest obstacle in my way, is that I really don't want to be forgotten. There it is.
Yeah,
I'm looking at death from both sides now.
Yeah.
All right. I don't want to be forgotten. And I don't want the work I did, the pioneering work as a comic. I want some sort of marker to my legacy.
Wow.
I feel like I've done more than people even know about.
Yeah.
Ooh, that made me want to cry.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh. So final part of the practice is important, which is to make a public commitment. And, you know, you tell other people what your goals are to move towards this more purposeful future. Who'd you tell and what'd you say?
I have yet to make a commitment about this because I'm very emotional and I wanted to see how I felt at the end of the interview, how I felt at the end of doing the practice about purpose. And so what I can do now is share it, first of all, with Deb, my partner, my wife, and then start sharing it with these people that I'm going to identify to be the collaborators, which is something I discovered in doing the practice, is to begin to sort of come out about this. Because by telling other people and asking for help, then I'm kind of more, it's kind of more in print.
You've had the kind of career that is pioneering, that is worthy of legacy, that because of cultural biases, it may not be as easy to get the legacy if you don't have the clubs there to welcome you in initially, et cetera.
Right, that's right.
So going forward, how did this practice sharpen your focus on finding that legacy?
Well, that remains, look, oh, me, speechless. That remains to be seen, but I had a feeling taking this on, I had a feeling, and I was nervous about it. So that's always, oh, why? Something, maybe you're going to grow. Maybe you're going to change. And so that's what I've kind of asked for. And that's what I've kind of opened myself up for, is what I'm hoping for, is that this gives me, that starts the new beat, that this is an auspicious beginning to a new beat. That's how I like to think of it. And that this work with you and this document I created can be a sort of the beginning of the mapping out the plan, the beginning of me humbly asking for help and seeking help and not being afraid, believing in myself and what I've accomplished and the legacy of what I've accomplished and what I have left to share. That's the other problem. It isn't just about preserving a legacy. It's I'm ready to do something new. I think that's part of what's been hard for me to take this next step, to get that sense of purpose, the new sense of purpose, is that I would love to just do things out of joy, but that's not quite enough for me right now because of the things I've said before, which have to do with preserving the legacy and getting more recognition and not just dying invisibly.
Well, Marilyn Pittman, thank you for being on our show and thank you for your incredible work and, you know, your pioneering work as a comedian and everything else that you've done in your shows and for your intelligence and honesty and kindness. It's just been a whirlwind tour of a remarkable life. So thank you so much.
You've made my day. Thank you, Docker.
You can follow Marilyn Pittman on Twitter at Marilyn Pittman and check on her YouTube channel by the same name.
It's just you wake up in the morning and you're kind of excited about your day and a week maybe. And you want to get out of your bed and get going with, you know, your day so that you feel meaningful. That's what Ikigai is, I think.
Up next, the Japanese concept of ikigai, or purpose in life, and how to achieve it. Welcome back to The Science of Happiness. I'm Dacher Keltner. Many of us were raised to believe we've got one true calling or purpose in life. and that to be happy, we should do that thing for our career. But that's not realistic for most people. So can our leisure time fill that void?
Maybe leisure can be part. I'm not saying that that's the only reason, but it's a one part of why people keep going and people can feel meaning and hope and purpose when the life seems to be so dark.
Shin Kono is a professor of leisure studies at the University of Alberta in Canada. He's interested in something called ikigai, a Japanese concept that roughly translates to one's purpose in life. But it's more than that. Ikigai can also refer to what makes your day-to-day feel worthwhile. Shin wanted to understand how the way we spend our free time impacts how much purpose we feel like our life has. He asked 27 university students to share photos of things they thought related to their ikigai. And then he interviewed each of them about their choices.
And it's amazing how leisure can be, in terms of ikigai, so embedded into our life. Just having a nice conversation over meal, or just hang out with your buddies, play some sports, you know, all those things.
Shin also asked them about other aspects of their lives, like how much they worked and studied.
There are students who are making a lot of effort, like taking 5 courses at a time and also doing part-time job.
He found that for the students who were working especially hard, spending their free time doing things just for pleasure was really important to them.
For example, you're watching the same TV show with your partner, but the enjoyment can be different things. There's different shades of enjoyment.
For those not working as hard in school, having challenging hobbies was an important source of their ikigai.
People get serious about leisure. People are committed to leisure. You want to finish 20K. You do everything that you could do and achieve that goal. That's meaningful.
Students found joy and a sense of accomplishment in achieving a major goal, but they were more likely to have strong ikigai if it wasn't all they were doing.
If you don't have enjoyment at all and you have a whole lot of work, effort, that's daunting, that's stressful, and you break eventually. And that is not ikigai.
The ones who felt the most purpose had more balanced lives overall.
You know, you can't go to your boss and say, hey, I want to have more enjoyable work, please. No, that's not going to happen. But you can do that with the leisure. I want people to be aware and intentional in their leisure, and that could help their ikigai.
I'm Dacher Keltner. Thanks for joining us on The Science of Happiness. This episode is part of our Purpose Across the Lifespan initiative, a partnership with the John Templeton Foundation and Encore.org. Our mission at The Science of Happiness and the Greater Good Science Center is to share the science of well-being with listeners around the world. We're also a donor-supported nonprofit. So if you appreciate the podcast, please consider supporting our work. Visit greatergood.berkeley.edu/donate to learn more. Our executive producer of audio is Shuka Kalantari. Our producer is Haley Gray. Associate producer Christy Song. Sound designer Jenny Cataldo of Accompany Studios. Our editor-in-chief is Jason Marsh. The Science of Happiness is a co-production of UC Berkeley's Greater Good Science Center and PRX.